Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today's Daf is Bava Metzia Pei Beis. We are on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. Hilvahu ala mashkin shamesh sachar. So in the Mishnah we learn, if Reuven lends Shimon money in exchange for a mashkin, for a collateral, what status does Reuven have with respect to guarding that mashkin? Is he a shemer chinam? Because after all, he's watching it, you know, free of charge. In which case, he's only responsible for outright negligence, for pshia. Anything less than that, suppose it was stolen or lost, he's not responsible. But the Mishnah says, no, he's a shemer sachar. It's as though he's getting a fee for guarding the item. He's getting some benefit. And therefore, his responsibilities rise. They grow. He has an elevated sense of achrayus. He has to look after the item to the extent that if it gets lost or stolen, he's responsible. It's as though he's getting paid a fee for being shomer of the item. Really? Says the Gemara, lema masnisin de loikar Rabbi Elazar. It would appear. At this point, is not consistent with Rabbi Elazar, the sanya, as we went in a brisa. Hamal ves chaver al mashkin. If one lends in exchange for a mashkin, ve'ovad ha-mashkin, the mashkin gets lost. No worries. Yeshava, all he does is swear that he was not pesheya, he wasn't careless, he's not to be faulted, and there you go. That exempts him. That exonerates him. Vito mo'isav, and he'll still get back his loan. So loss of the mashkin does not cost him anything. Because he's like a shemer chinam. If he was not peisheya, he's potter. Divrei, whose shita is that? Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer is like a shemer sachar. He's responsible. Yachay leimar lois. So Shimon, the owner of the mashkin, can tell Reuven, look, klum hilvisani el mashkin. You remember? You recall? You lent me the money in exchange for the mashkin. So the mashkin is under your care. You lose it. You lose the money. Avad ha mashkin. Of the Moisecha, you lose the mashkin, you lost your money. So our Mishnah, which says that he's a Shemer Sechar, seems to be in line with Rabbi Akiva and not Rabbi Elazar. And the Brisa continues, Aval Hilvo Elav Zuz, but all agree. All would agree in the following case. Suppose Reuven lent him $1,000. Bishtar, and he got a document to certify this loan, to document the loan, which now pretty much gives him a secure avenue, a secure route of collecting that loan, collecting that debt. So in this case, nobody can say, well, the only reason why I have the mashkin Rashi calls it zecharin dvarim, so that, you remember about the loan, you remember that you owe me money. Evidently, that's not the point, because he already has a mashkin to keep the loan fresh and on the table. So here, all agree that if at this point he got a mashkin, v'nech le'mashkin aleihem, the mashkin here was sort of like a prepayment. It was like sort of a partial payment, right? And all agree in this case, he's like an owner. He's fully responsible for that item. He's like a shomer sachar. Divrei HaKohel all agree in this case. Even Rabbi Elazar agrees that it's under his care and he's responsible, and therefore avad ha-mashkin, avad ha-mo'isav. He loses the mashkin, he loses the money. So bottom line, we have two cases. He lent him in exchange for a mashkin, which he got at the time of the loan. Rabbi Elazar says, it's not really meant as a prepayment for that loan. It's just meant to sort of, remind the borrower about the loan, lest he forget. But after all, the lender is just a shemer chinam. He's watching it free of charge. Rabbi Akiva considers that like partial payment. So if you lose it, you lose the money. All agree, if he got the mashkin at a later date, that certainly was meant as guvaina, as for payment, tentative payment, so he loses that. He loses that the value. Bottom line, our Mishnah says, "You're guarding a mashkin, you're a shemes sachar." Is that consistent with Rabbi Elazar, who seems to say that he's merely a shemer chinam and not responsible for this mashkin? Afilu tamer Rabbi Elazar. You know what? Our Mishnah can fall in line even to Rabbi Elazar. But like Kash, and the answer is like this: it depends when he took possession of the mashkin. Rabbi Elazar and the Brisa is discussing where he got the mashkin at the time of the loan. In which case, It wasn't meant as prepayment. It wasn't meant as... It was just meant to serve as a constant reminder to the loiva that he has to pay up that loan. But he's, the malver is merely a shemer chinam on that item. Kan, but in the Mishnah by us, where we consider him a shemer sachar, he's having some hanah, some benefit from this item, is speaking shemishkine shaloi b'shasava also. He collected that mashkin at a later date, way past the loan issuance. In which case, Rashi says, you know, he went to the Bezdin and he demanded the loan, you know, repayment of the loan. The fellow wasn't forthcoming. You know, so the Bezdin granted him the right to, you know, seize this item. Rashi says, Dahuva, the last line of Rashi, Dahuvada, certainly in this case, it's considered Luguvayne. Shakli, he took it as payment. So certainly in this case, it's under his care. He's like an owner. He's responsible for the item. Says the Gemara, how could you say that the Mishnah is speaking about one instance, the Braisa, another instance, v'idi. Well, both in the Mishnah and the Braisa, we use the same language to describe the story. Hilvoa ala mashkin ketani. It says he lent him in exchange for the mashkin. And Rashi says bish as halva amashma. That sounds like it's happening. It's happening on site. As he's lending him, he's getting the mashkin. Not at a later date. Ella rather says the Gemara, let's try another idea. Loikasha, the way to answer is like this. Kan shilvo mois. The Bryce, the widow of Leza, considers him a shemer chino because he's not getting any hanah from this mashkin. Is where he lent him money in exchange for the mashkin. He has nothing more than just a mitzvah. So, he's treated like a shemer chinam. He's not really responsible for the item. Kan shilvo peiros. The Mishnah, which considers him a shemer sachar, is discussing a case where he lent him bananas, which were about to, you know, they're going to spoil sooner or later. So actually, the owner has some hanoh, he has benefit from this transaction. In which case, when he gets the mashkin in exchange for the loan, he's considered a shemer sachar because he has some residual gain, and he's more responsible. So that's the case in the Mishnah. One second, but the Mishnah itself later on brings a different opinion which makes that distinction between Peirois and Mois, which sounds like the Tanakhama is not submitting to that distinction, right? Let's move on to the next part of our Mishnah. We have Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hilvoi Mois, Shemer Chinam, Hilvoi Peirois, Shemer Sachar. Depends. If you lent him money, the Shemer Chinam, fruit, Shemer Sachar, Mechlal de Tanakhama Le Shanilei. Clearly, the Tanakhama, who considers him a straight Shemir Sachar, is not making that distinction. How can we posit otherwise? No, says the Gemara, the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Who makes that distinction? Kula Rabbi Yehuda. V'chesura mechsra v'chitani. The Mishnah is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words, and learn it like this. We begin, Hilavo ala mashkin Shemir Sachar. If he lent him in exchange for a mashkin, he's a Shemir Sachar. Bamed var mamurim. When is that true? Only shilvo peiros, when he lent him peiros, where he has benefit from this whole transaction. Aval hilvo moi, shemechinam, if it was just money, he's a shemechinam, she, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because as we know, Rabbi Yehuda makes this distinction between hilvo moi, where he's a shemechinam, and hilvo peiros, where he's a shemechachar. So in summation, at this point, we're saying that the Mishnah considers a monetary loan in exchange for a mashkin as a shemechinam, whereas a peiros loan in exchange for a mashkin, a shemer sachar. So it fits well with Rabbi Elazar and the Braisa, who considers it a shemer chinam because he's only speaking about money. But Rabbi Kiva and the Braisa apparently disagrees. Even by a monetary loan, he's a shemer sachar. Yach, if that's the case, kamala mas nisin to look at Rabbi Kiva. Turns out that our Mishnah, which considers a monetary loan in exchange for a mashkin as a shemer chinam, as opposed to Rabbi Kiva and the Braisa, which considers him a shemer sachar. We know, says Rashi, that typically all these stam mishnahs, the anonymous mishnahs, follow Rabbi Kiva, who is the grand rebbe of Rabbi Meir, of Rabbi Yehuda, of Rabbi Shimon, who authored the Mishnayos and the Sifras and the Sifri, right? So to say that our Mishnah is not consistent with Rabbi Kiva, it's a bit difficult to assume. Mas nisin look at Rabbi Kiva. You're right. Ella rather machvarta. The true and correct approach is the Masnissen, the Likra Blesser. Let's go back to step one. Our Mishnah is speaking about a monetary loan, and he still considers Shemir Sachar, and that works with Rabbi Kiva and the Braisa, because we treat it like partial payment, like prepayment, for that loan, and therefore he's a Shemir Sachar, and it's not going to work. It's Rabbi Lazar, who considers a merely a Shemir Chinam. Now, once we have that established, what about the why? What's the Machlekes about? Why Shemir Chinam? Why Shemir Sachar? Lema, perhaps we can suggest. But the Leishavi Mashkin, Shir Zusi, that firstly, the Mashkin that he took doesn't have the same value as the loan. He lent him $1 million, the Mashkin was only worth $50. Ube de Shmuel Kamifliki, in the Machlekes, of whether the lender is responsible for the Mashkin revolves around Shmuel's halacha. Damar Shmuel. Shmuel is a grand chiddush. Listen to this. Haiman de oisve al fazuzi l'chavri. Reuben lent $1,000 to Shimon. Va'anach le'kata de magla iluyayu. And Shimon just presented him with a handle of a tool, of a sickle. Pretty cheap collateral. Va'anach le'kata, the handle de magla, the sickle iluyayu, as a security on that loan. So Shmuel holds that being that Reuben accepted this $5 item as a collateral for the $1 million loan, it's as though he's assuming full responsibility and he's willing to accept that if he loses the handle, the collateral is like a loan. He loses the collateral, he loses the entire loan, the full $1 million. Of Adkata Damal, he lost the tool. Of Du Afazuzi, he lost the full loan. And that would be Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Was Rabbi Lezer holds? No. Actually, since it's only worth $5, it doesn't relate to the loan. It's not meant as a security on the loan. It's just meant like, Rashi says, L'zecharein dvarim ba'almahu denokatle. He's just holding it so that, you know, we recall the loan. We know about the loan. We remember about the loan. Of course, if he loses it, he's not responsible. It's just a shemachina. So that seems to be the machlekes, but which is a bit, you know, difficult because typically halacha presented by an amoira like Shmuel is not usually connected to a machlekes tanoim. So as they were, okay, let's back away from that. If in fact the mashkin doesn't have the value of the actual loan amount, the kuli alma less lo de Shmuel, perhaps nobody would agree with Shmuel that he loses the entire thing. Rabbi Lezer would hold, he doesn't lose anything, he would lose at least, you know, just that much. $5, not more than that, because Hashem is Sachar. Oh, here we're speaking that actually the Mashkin had the full value of the loan. $1 million loan, he got a Ferrari, $1 million car. And the Machlekes revolves around Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak holds, when you take a mashke into your possession, you're fully responsible. You're like an owner. Rashi says, "L'chol mili l'ischay ba'insin," even an accident, even oinus. And that's the machlekes. Rabbi Yitzchak says, "How do we know that's true?" Manai lebal chayv shekoyne mashke. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "When you return, you know the mashke there, so the fellow can use it at night when he needs it." L'choti etzdaka. The Torah considers it an act of charity. The Torah gives you credit for giving him back the mashke. Well, if it's not yours, it's not really yours. How do we consider it stuck? I mean, like you're doing it stuck with somebody else's thing? We learn from here that he's like an owner. Okay, so that's the machlekes. Rabbi Lezer holds, Rabbi Kiva holds over Rabbi Yitzchak. He's like the owner, he's fully responsible. If it gets lost, it's his loss, whereas Rabbi Lezer disagrees. V'tispra, really, how can you suggest to connect these two things? Eimudam Rabbi Yitzchak. You know when Rabbi Yitzchak says his idea? B'mishkenei b'shaloi b'shasava osay. See, the pasuk there about the mashkin is speaking that it was after the fact. He had already lent him the money, and then later on he's looking to collect his loan. Now the Bezdin gave him the right to collect the mashkin, etc. So there, yeah, it's leguvayna. It's meant as a collection. Of course it's yours. Of course you're responsible. But in our case, we're speaking, right? Like we said before, it was hilvo ala mashkin. He took the mashkin as he was lending him the money. It's a totally different context. There, who says? He's considered the owner. It's just like a temporary, hold on an item so that you know, we insure payment. It's not considered like a collect. It's not part of the collect. It's not a payment for the loan. Not partial payment. Ella mishkanei b'shashav. B'shashav. Also, you're right. If he took the mashkan later on down the road, everybody would accept Rabbi Yitzchak's idea because it's considered partial payment. You consider the owner. You're fully responsible. But in our case, we're speaking about mishkanei b'shashav. Actually, he got it at the time of the loan issuance. And the machlekes. Rabbi Lezer Mekiva revolves around a famous shayla. What status does a shomer aveda have? A person finds a lost item in the street. He's holding on to it for the owner. He's doing a mitzvah. What status does he have? Is he a shomer chinam? Because after all, he's not getting paid for it. Or is he a shomer sachar? Why is he a shomer sachar? Because since he's involved in a mitzvah, when a person is involved in a mitzvah, oisek b'mitzvah, it exempts him from doing any other mitzvahs. Potter min ha-mitzvah, you only have, you know, capacity for one mitzvah at a time. So now let's say, at that point, a poor man knocks on his door, he's exempt. It exempts him from giving tzedakah, so he sort of saves that penny. So he's gaining from doing this mitzvah. That's why he's a shomer sachar, and that elevates his responsibility to the point that he has to watch it even better. And the same with a mashkan. We treat it like an aveda. After all, you're watching the other fellow's item, which you've taken in exchange for the loan. You're just doing a mitzvah. What status do you have? The itmar as we learn. Shomer aveda. What status does a shomer aveda have? Rabba Amar, kishomer chinam. It's not so common to have a man knocking on your door at that time. You're not really getting paid. You're shomer chinam. Rabbi Yosef Amar, kishomer sachar. Rabbi Yosef says it's a shomer sachar. And that seems to be the machlekes of Blazer Mekiva here as well. Is it shomer chinam or shomer sachar? So it's pretty clear that according to Rabba, there's no way out. Because Rabba holds that a shomer aveda is shomer chinam. And Rabbi Kiva Bayas, who considers him more than a shomer chinam, cannot be working with Rabba. It's a machlokes tanaim. But Rabbi Yosef, who says that a shomer aveda is a shomer sachar, must he exceed that it's a machlokes tanaim? Lema the Rabbi Yosef tanaim. Must we say that Rabbi Yosef, who holds that a shomer aveda is a shomer sachar, is really dependent on this machlokes tanaim? No, loim. Right? Lema is tanaim. Loim is shomer aveda. The kliyam is the Rabbi Yosef. Perhaps. When it's your standard classic Shomer Aveda, everybody would agree with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Lezer would agree, Rabbi Kiva would agree that he's a Isaac a mitzvah, that exempts him from giving tzedakah, he's getting some benefit from it, he's a Shomer Soch. V'acha, but in our case, we're speaking about a unique type of situation. The lender took the mashkin, right, to secure the loan, but actually, as Rashi says, you know, he's doing the lawyer a favor because it's a nice car, he's using it, and by doing so, deducting from the loan. So he's making use of it, but it's within the context of the loan, which is really a mitzvah. So there's two ways to look at it. Mar sava mitzvah ka'avid. Rabbi Kiva holds, yeah, he's still doing a mitzvah. Shilavo, after all, how did he get this car? Why is he getting involved in this whole thing? Because he lent the poor guy money. He's doing a mitzvah, so he's still considered a sikha mitzvah, which exempts him from doing other mitzvahs, which gets him that hanoa from, you know, by sparing him the tzedakah. At the end of the day, it's a shomer sachar. V'av a shomer sachar. Whereas Rabbi Lezer disagrees. After all, you know, how did I get myself into this? I didn't need a Ferrari. I wanted to lend a person. I was doing a mitzvah. Umar sava la mitzvah kovid. Sorry, actually, Rabbi Lezer holds the fact is, true, you did a mitzvah initially, but now you have the nice car and you're enjoying yourself. You haven't got no. So it's not considered a pure mitzvah act anymore. You're right now having enough from this item. Shalom Asim Skaven, he's having an offer from it, he's using it. So he's no longer considered Isik b'mitzvah, and therefore he's not potter from mitzvah. And therefore, if an ani comes knocking on his door, he has to get the tzedakah. So he's not really gaining that benefit. Vav Shemer Chinam, and therefore he's considered Shemer Chinam, and he's not really responsible for anything more than absolute carelessness. So, bottom line, Mishnah says a Shemer, a Mashkin is a Shemer Sachar, we have a Brisa, Rabbi Lezer says Shemer Chinam, Rabbi Kiva says Shemer Sachar. We had several attempts at, you know, lining up the Mishnah and the Brice and explaining it. At the end of the day, we're saying that this really is connected to the classic question of a Shomer Aveda and Shomer Mashkin. In our case, it's considered like a Shomer Aveda. That would be one way to learn. Or in a case where he's using the Mashkin, is it considered Shomer Chinam or Shomer Soch? Abashol Eimer Mutar La'adam La'Hasker Mashkoyne Shalani Li'ayis Peiches V'Hoylach. You lent an ani money. You have a mashkin. You can do him a favor by renting the item out and using the rent to the and applying the rent towards the loan, deducting as you're going along, which really helps the Ani. Amrav Chanan bar Amem or Shmuel, halacha is kabasho. That's what we do. Va'af abasho le ama. But the truth is that abasho only allowed the system elabem mara psal v'kardim only if you have heavy duty tools here, like a mara, like a shovel, a psal, like a carpenter's plane, v'kardim an axe, which are heavy duty durable items. Hoyel v'nafesh agrayus that can earn a nice income for the owner, which will be applied towards his outstanding balance of vizuter p'chasayu, and the wear and tear is very minimal, so it makes for a good financial proposition. Hamaver chavis says the Mishnah makom l'makom. A person was entrusted with his fellow's barrel of wine. He's transporting it from one place to the other as per to keep it safe or whatever. V'shibra, and it dropped and it broke. Bein shemer chinam, bein shemer sachar, whatever he is, Hashem chinam, Hashem sachar. All he has to do is swear yeshava that he wasn't trying to be careless and he's not a pesheya, and that makes him potter. Rav Lezer Omer, actually, that's what I heard from my teachers as well. I heard like the Tanakama, which is typically Rav Meir, right? Stamishn is Rav Meir. Zevaze Yeshava, correct, that's what I heard as well. But Tamiani, I'm wondering, how does this work? Maybe a Shemir Chinam, okay, he's only Chayev for Pshia, which he claims he didn't do. But a Shemir Sachar, I understand it's not a Pshia, but Hashem HaSachar has more responsibilities than Hashem HaChinam. He's chayiv even by Geneva Vaveda if it gets lost or stolen, and this is comparable to that. You can't say it's a full, outright accident. He was holding it, he slipped, he dropped. So, at least Hashem HaSachar have to pay for this. Utmeyani, I'm wondering, if both individuals, Hashem HaChinam and Hashem HaSachar, can simply get away with a shvua. How does that work? We'll see the Gemara. Why Rav Lezer was arguing. Tana Rabban. So now we have a braisa, which pretty much repeats the Mishnah with another, a little bit of elaboration. Another shita. Hamav Rechavis Chaver Mokim L'Mokim. Okay, he's transporting his friend's barrel from place to place. V'shiva, and he cracked it, he broke it. Bein Shemir Chinam. Bein Shemir Sachar Yishava. Right? Divra Meir holds, whatever you are, just swear that you didn't mean to do it, it wasn't carelessness, it was negligence, and you're okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shomer Chinam Yishava. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, I understand that a niskal, a person who tripped, is not a pesheya, you can't hold it against him. So a Shomer Chinam can just swear that it was an accident and he's good. But Noisei Sachar Yishalim, a person who's getting paid, he should be extra careful. It's not like, it was an oines, you can't say it was an outright, beyond his control, a total accident. He could have been more careful. So it's somewhere in the middle of the spectrum. On the one side you have Pesheya, the other side you have Oines, and this is somewhere in the middle. So Hashem Yisachar should be responsible. And Rabbi Lezer Omer, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Zevaze Yeshava, truthfully, I heard like Rabbi Meir that they're both exempt through a Shavua, but I'm not sure how this works. So Tumiani, Im Yecholin Zevaze Yeshava, how could that be? Okay, so bottom line, the remainder of the Sefer Rav Meir, would appear that Rav Meir holds Niskal when a person trips over, La Peshay, we don't hold it against him. And that's why he says, Hashem Rechinam, Hashem Rechachar even, is Pata, we treat it like an Oynes. Right? Vatanya, but listen to this Brisa that we had back in Bavar Kama, if you remember, Hanishbara Kadavli Silka. He's walking down the street and his container falls and breaks, and he fails to clean up. Nafla gamla v'lehimida. His camel collapses. He fails to get it out of the way. And somebody trips on and hurts himself. Rav Meir mechayev bezeken. According to Rav Meir, he's fully responsible. Why? Niskal peisheya. When you trip, it's your fault. You should be looking out and not tripping. V'chacham aimrim pater medini adam v'chayev medini shamayim. Okay, in Bezdin we can't obligate you, but in Shamayim they'll hold it against you. V'chayim elanam, we learned over there, Machlekes revolves around how to treat a niskal. First, no trips. Is he at fault or not? Rav Meir seems to say, yeah. Which is totally inconsistent with our Mishnah and our Braisa. Well, we don't hold it against the Shem Echinim and even Shem Echinim for tripping. I'm Rav Lezer, you're right, Tavra. We have to break them apart. We have to disconnect our sugya with that sugya. There are two versions in Rav Meir, two shittos in what Rav Meir held. Mishishanazu, Lashanazu, the town of this Braisa, is going on a different track than the Tana of that other Braisa. Bottom line is, over here, Rav Meir holds, Niskal is not Peshea, we don't hold it against him. That's Rav Meir Shita. And then we have Rav Yehuda in the Braisa. Vos Rav Yehuda Lameimar, Rav Yehuda disagrees, he takes issue, he says, Shem Echinim Yishav, I understand that in Niskal isn't necessarily, you know, an outright Peshea, but he's somewhere in the middle. Right? Again, we have Peshea on the right side, but Oines on the left, and this fellow is somewhere in the middle. It's like, you know, a semi-accident. Hashem Mechinim, okay. He can swear and get and walk off. But Oines Yisachar Yishal, a person who's getting paid to watch this item, he has a higher degree of responsibility, he has to pay for this. Haikidine, each individual, consistent with his level of responsibility. Vos, Rabbi Lezer Lameimar. That's Shita number two. Come Shita number three is Rabbi Lezer. In, correct. Gemara Kermeir. I heard from my teachers like Kermeir. That whatever you are, you make a shvo and you walk off. Umiyo, but I'm wondering how this works. Tameyani. Emi Choylan Zevzel Shabbat. How could it be that both individuals could just walk away with a shvo? Bishle Meshamechina Meshtabat Le Pashava. I understand how Meshamechina can do that. He swears that he wasn't negligent. That's enough for him. Elishem Meshachar Amay Meshtabat. But Hashem is Sachar, how is a Shvua sufficient for him? Look, Kilei Pasha Nami, even if he wasn't careless, Nami Shilumi but he has to still pay. It's like, it's no worse than the item which got stolen or lost, which obligates Hashem Echinam, Hashem is Sachar. And you know what? Afilu Hashem Echinam Nami. You know, even Hashem Echinam, I'm not so sure how this works. Hoteinach Mokim Madrin. Suppose, okay, he was walking down a slope, he slipped. Okay. You understand? That's pretty close to Aynes. Can't hold it against him. But Shaloi b'Maki Madrin. There was no slope. A straight street, clear day, right? Mimotzi Meshtabed Leipasha. How can he get up and swear? Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Rashi says, Vade Peshei. What are you doing tripping on a flat street? Afilu b'Maki Madrin Nami. And you know what? Even if it was a slopey area, where you can say it was an accident, he couldn't help himself. But why is a shvua enough to exempt him? V'afilu b'makim madr nami, hoteinach tahich leleka ra'aya. Okay, that's if he's going in a quiet place, there's nobody around, no witnesses, so a shvua exempts him. Aval hecha deika ra'aya, but there are people watching, it's a smaller street. Nasi ra'aya v'nifter, there we should obligate him, we should require him to bring witnesses to prove his case. The sign is even you da'imer. Okay, if something happened, an accident, there's nobody around, so they make a shvua and they're done. But there are witnesses around. Yavi raya v'yipata, he has to bring edim. So that's Rabbi Lezer's shita here. He says, look, I fact is, I know Rabbi Meir is substantiated and all that, but I'm not sure how this works. So according to this first approach in the Gemara, second approach is coming up soon. According to the first approach, Rav Meir and Bava Kama hold Niskal Peshea. Rav Meir over here, if Bava Metzia holds, Niskal is an Oines, and therefore it exempts Hashem Rechinam and Hashem Esachar. Rav Yehuda says, a Niskal, a personal trip, it's not an Oines. It's like somewhere in the middle. He's partially responsible. It's good enough for Hashem Rechinam to be part of, but not Hashem Esachar. Rav Lezer comes back and says, you know what, I heard like Rav Meir, that's what I was taught as well, but I'm not sure how this works. Rav Chia bar Abba Mar Yechlan. Here comes Rav Chia in the name of Rav Yechlan. Remember, we had this kasha because over here in Bava Metzia we seem to say, according to Rav Meir, you trip, you're not at fault. Whereas in Bava Kama, he is faulted with tripping. How do you work this out? Says Rabbi Yechon, guess what? Fundamentally, Rav Meir holds that up in this Kalidah Peshea, but there's a special allowance in this case where he's tending to his friend's barrel. He's doing a favor, he's looking after it, he's trying to be helpful. Shvua Azu, the reason why he gets off the hook by just swearing that he wasn't negligent. Why is that enough? Takanas Chachamim was a special takana established by the Chachamim to encourage chesed, right? To facilitate acts of kindness. She'im i'ato imer came, because otherwise if you hold him responsible, he'll never help his friend for fear of perhaps dropping his item and having to pay. Ein lecha adam hamaver chavis lechaveroi v'makin l'makin. Nobody's going to help each other. So technically he's really responsible because Niskal is a Peshea. Why'd you trip? But we give him a special allowance because he was trying to help him out. The question is, so what is he swearing about? I mean, if we say tripping equals carelessness, Heichim Mishtabas, what's he going to swear? I wasn't careless. I was. I'm a Rava. Well, different levels of carelessness. Shvur shalei b'kavona shvaratiya. Look, I didn't mean it. I mean, maybe you consider me responsible. I should have been more careful. But you can't say I did it purposely. And that's what he's swearing. That's Rabbi Meir's shita. V'asar Rabbi Dilameim. Comes Rabbi Dilameim and says, I hold that niska, when you trip, you're not really considered a pesheya. So you're not there. But on the other hand, you're not really an oinus. You're not fully exempt. You're somewhere in the middle, like we said before. And therefore, that's good enough for a shemer chinam, but not for a shemer sachar. Shemer chinam yishava. Shemer chinam will swear. If it's a sachar, yishalom will have to pay. Haikidine, vaikidine, each one according to his level of responsibility. Vas Rav Lezer Lameir, because Rav Lezer says, in Gemara Karameir, I also heard like Rameir. I'm not sure how this works. Because Rav Lezer seems to go with Rav Yehuda's approach. That, you know, he's somewhere in the middle. I'm not sure how both individuals can get away with just a shvua. I understand that a shem achinim can swear that he didn't do the pshia. Elo shem esachar, my mishtaba. But a shem esachar should be responsible for this level of negligence. And how could he make a shvua? Even if he was not really careless, but he's still responsible for this level of mini carelessness. Right, like we said before, even a shemachinam, how's he going to suffice with a shvua? That's good when he was walking down a slope, he wasn't responsible, he wasn't careless, he just slipped. But if he's going down a flat surface, he's fully careless. How could he swear otherwise? Even if he was going down a slope, he's not really responsible. That's good when there's nobody around, so he has to swear, and that's good enough. If there are people around, he can use witnesses. He should be obligated to bring witnesses to support his case. The Tani is when you do aimer, right? Ain roya. When there's nobody around, shvuas Hashem tiyeh ben shneim, a shvua suffices. Hoyeish roya. If there are some people around and he can use them as witnesses, he can't just suffice with the shvua. Yavi raya v'yipater. Okay. Bottom line, what did we learn today? We have the story about a malva l'mashkin, shem echinem, shem esachar. We had several ways of explaining the machlokes. We have the Mishnah of a fellow traveling with walking around with carrying a barrel. It dropped, broke. We have three shittas. Rav Meir says just make a shvua and walk. Rav Yehuda says Shem Chinam can do so, not a Shem Esachar. Rav Lezer says actually I was taught like Rav Meir. I'm not sure how this works. We had a Gemara Baba Kama, which seemed to be inconsistent with our Mishnah. We had two ways of reconciling the two sukkis. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.